You are listening to Expanding Horizons, the podcast of the Unitarian Church of South Australia, a home of progressive spirituality and free religious thought and action since 1854. Views expressed in these podcasts are those of the speaker and are not intended to represent the position of the church itself or of the worldwide Unitarian Universalist movement. For more information, visit unitariansa.org.au.
Woodcarver from The Way of Chuang Tzu by Thomas Merton. Ching, the master carver, made a bell stand of precious wood. When it was finished, all who saw it were astounded. They said it must be the work of spirits. The Prince of Lu said to the master carver, "What is your secret?" Ching replied, "I am only a workman. I have no secret. There is only this. When I began to think about the work you commanded, I guarded my spirit, did not expend it on trifles that were not to the point. I fasted in order to set my heart at rest. After 3 days of fasting, I had forgotten gain and success. After 5 days, I had forgotten praise or criticism. After 7 days, I had forgotten my body with all its limbs. By this time, all thought of your highness and of the court had faded away. All that might distract me from the work had vanished. I was collected in the single thought of the bell stand. When I went to the forest to see the trees in their own natural state, when the right tree appeared before my eyes, the bell stand also appeared in it, clearly, beyond doubt. All I had to do was put forth my hand and begin. If I had not met this particular tree, there would have been no bell stand at all. What happened? My own collected thought encountered the hidden potential in the wood. From this live encounter came the work which you ascribe to the spirits."
Well, may I speak this morning in the great love, the great wisdom, the great compassion, the source of all. So this morning I want to speak to you about prayer and reminding you of what the French feminist philosopher Simone Weil said, that prayer is paying attention. Prayer is paying attention. And that moves us away from the idea of prayer being a kind of magical thinking, a kind of manipulation of God, something that we have to discard. It's something that we do all of the time. It's embedded, I think, particularly in our culture. Prayer is a homely word. It's part of who we are. But also, in community and on our own, it can become a deeper art. It can deepen our call into relationship and into a sense of our own authenticity. So I want to do something quite traditional this morning in a sermon, which is to comment on a text. And many preachers down the centuries have put themselves to one side and simply sought to let the text speak more clearly and bring its own wisdom. And the woodcarver story this morning from The Way of Chuang Tzu, interpreted by the late Catholic monk Thomas Merton, is one that I think provokes our attention. And because it comes from a different culture and different background, I think it can speak a little more deeply and clearly for us. So it centers around the master carver, king. The word master is not a male term. It means somebody who has mastery, somebody who has that sense of genius and understanding, somebody who has immersed themselves deeply in their craft or that skill. But he sees himself as a humble workman. And I've got my humble workman jacket on this morning. So this is a Japanese jacket. And if you go to one of those temples in Kyoto, the monks wear these kind of jackets to keep them warm, to sweep the leaves on the outside. It's a traditional, humble, ordinary working jacket, but it really is very nice. It keeps you very warm when you're meditating, I have to say. So this bell stand of precious wood appeared, and when it was finished, all who saw it were astounded. They were astonished. And I think prayer often begins with a sense of being astounded or astonished by something, by somebody, by life's circumstance. The world, the planet, seems to move on its axis, and we see something new, something different, and we begin to ask questions. And they said it must be the work of spirits. That is, not of this person, it must come from elsewhere. It must be some kind of magic. But the ruler, the Prince of Lu, says to the master carver, "What is your secret? What is your secret?" And he is the one who has commissioned this piece of work. And prayer can often be saying, "What is this all about? What is this all about?" And particularly because I spend so much of my time in ICU as a chaplain and as a counselor, a philosophical counselor, a meditation teacher, often at times when people are asking this question, "What is this all about? What is the secret that lies behind this?" So King replied, "I'm only a workman. I have no secret. There is only this." So we can see within this person an appropriate and authentic humility. Humility is not some kind of odd thing. Humility is about what it means to be real. And when we sit in silence or when we come together, let's be real. Let's say what is on our heart. Let us pray with a sense of integrity. And sometimes we can say to God or to the universe, "I just feel incredibly angry." And that's being real with who we are and with our prayer. King replied, "I'm only a workman, I have no secret. When I began to think about the work you commanded, I guarded my spirit, did not expend it on trifles, were not to the point." Here is a person who is willing to give up that which is superficial to that which is most important. "I fasted in order to set my heart at rest. After 3 days fasting, I had forgotten gain and success. After 5 days, I had forgotten praise or criticism. After 7 days, I had forgotten my body with all its limbs." So around this poetry, there's a willingness to put yourself and your concerns and that ego on one side to focus on something which is greater than not you, something that calls forth your curiosity and your attention. So we really don't get the impression in all of this that King is checking his Facebook feed or putting a few pictures on Instagram and asking people, "What do you think about this particular bell stand?" He's not kind of going around to get ideas. And sometimes we need that focus and that urgency. At home, we're just doing a bathroom renovation. And when we began to think of it, we were kind of frozen into immobility about the variety of tapware that one could obtain for one's bathroom. And we went to one very upmarket bathroom place where we were told that a toilet is not a toilet, it's a statement. Okay. So what did we do? Well, we did it all very quickly. We ordered our tiles because we knew what we wanted there. And we set ourselves 4 hours and we just went and bought it from one place. It felt so much better. Okay, sometimes the urgency really helps us to focus. So what are the things that could have distracted King as he made his bell stand, checking his smartphone at every moment, asking the opinion of other people. But more than that, he could have been motivated by fear. I mean, what about his reputation if he stuffed up this big gig? What happened if he got on the wrong side of the Prince of Lu? But what happened if he turned in some kind of fantastic piece, the kind of fame and fortune that could have come his way, and girlfriends that he might have collected as well? So fear and greed motivate human beings, and sometimes that's very unhealthy, is it not, in a community or as an individual? But by doing all of this work, all thought of your highness and of the court had faded away. All that might distract me from the work had vanished. I was collected in the single thought of the bell stand. So in essence, in prayer, it's paying attention. And we can bring that to our breath, to our body, to our relationships with other people. That's classic meditation. Or it can just be surrender, opening ourselves up to whatever God is for us, the great spirit, the great question, the mystery of it all. We lose a sense of self-focus. We simply surrender and give ourselves over, and we build in some practices that allow that to do that. So prayer, like every form of art, involves a form of sacrifice to that which is better, leaving aside the superficial and identifying what it is that is really important. Then I went to the forest to see the trees in their own natural state. Okay, so he sets off on a journey now. He sets off back into the world and he goes looking. Now, in a sense, the right tree came to him. The right tree came to him. And you know what? You can question me on this. This is a kind of a weird thing. When I, in my work, in counseling, in meditation teaching, in spiritual care, in the Queen Elizabeth Hospital and at the Royal Adelaide, when I let myself go, when I simply go with the flow and practice being present, it's amazing the conversations I have, the things that people share with me. The life seems to kind of open up. And honestly, it is so kind of wacky and weird. How many coincidences can you have? But they happen almost every day when I'm willing to get out of the way and simply be and say, I'm just going to be available to this person today. When the right tree appeared before my eyes, the bell stand also appeared in it clearly beyond doubt. All I had to do was to put forth my hand and begin. If I had not met this particular tree, there would have been no bell stand at all. He's not going to make do with second best, but also the bell stand comes to him as life is, as a gift that he's going to receive, a gift that he's going to respond to. And that's what prayer is all about. It's about responding, entering into relationship, allowing that which is real to emerge before us. What happened? Here is the second question. What happened? What happened then? Questions when we pray or meditate are really significant. Where is my mind now? What's happening? What's the real truth about this situation? And he responds, my own collected thought encountered the hidden potential in the wood. From this live encounter came the work which you ascribe to the spirit. Now, behind this, on this quest in which the master carver is involved, is a very old and traditional understanding of what art is. So when you have a block of marble or a tree, it's not I'm going to impose my will on this and carve it out, but it is the idea that within that, that is where the sculpture, the carving, the piece of music is actually there. It is discovered and not invented. So the 3rd century philosopher Plotinus said, the work of living wisely is to sculpt your own statue, to sculpt your own statue. So that's not going like going along to a body sculpt class at a gym where you're sculpting your body, but it is to understand that there's a deeper you that can come to birth and become manifest. Beyond the kind of illusions, beyond the kind of projections that we put out to other people. And one of the reasons I wore my lovely warm jacket today is because sometimes when people wear something differently, they think, well, now what's going to happen? And you begin to judge that person. Okay, so that's why I kind of wore my little outfit here. If I'd not met this particular tree, there would have been no bell stand at all. My own collected thought encountered the hidden potential in the wood. From this live encounter came the work which was ascribed to the spirits. So there is, of course, the presupposition that there's a real bell stand, the world has shifted, something beautiful has been brought to birth, goodness has been evoked in the hearers, and there's beauty which is there to inspire. And cannot this be true of our own individual lives as spiritual seekers and true of this community as it continues to evolve and be born afresh, Sunday by Sunday, day by day? We're seeking to create and to sculpt that which is beautiful, that which is good, that which is true within a harmony of spirits, a harmony of understanding. And of course, we want people to join and be part of our community, not just to fill the benches or to be an extra person on the coffee roster, but because of the joy and the discovery and the sense of community that we have discovered in this place, in one another, which we want to overflow into our wider community, calling people to live more justly, more fairly, more considerately, less motivated by fear and greed. Simone Weil wrote, "Prayer is paying attention." And she gave her life. She literally gave her life for that truth, living as a witness, living for social justice, living and sculpting her life as a work of art that would speak clearly to others. It wasn't a peaceful journey for her, but it was her way of living authentically. So may you and I live authentically from our deepest heart and from who we are.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this Expanding Horizons podcast. These podcasts are the intellectual property of the presenter. They can be used only with the express permission and appropriate acknowledgement of the presenter and the podcast used in its entirety. This permission can be obtained by emailing UnitarianSA@bigpond.com. please feel free to leave a comment or visit us on Facebook or Twitter by searching SA Unitarians.